Okay, but Yishma, this week also, by the way, this week is Shabbos Mevarchim. Mevarchim Chodesh Adar. Is that correct? Chodesh Chodesh is when? Is next Shabbos? Anyone know for sure? Is next Shabbos?
Friday and Shabbos.
Friday and Shabbos. It's already Chodesh Adar. Would you believe it? It's already Purim time. Unbelievable how time flies. By Yishma Yisrael Choy Midian Chayesin Moshe Eis Kol Asher Osa Elokim L'Moshe L'Yisrael Amoki Yitzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Rashi tells us over here that Yisrael has seven names. It's the second time when Rashi mentions the seven names. Back in Parasha Shemais, Rashi also lists off his seven names. What are his seven names? Shiva Shemais Nikru Uloi. It's the second Rashi on the Parasha. Reuel, Yeser, Yisroi, Choyvav, Chever, Keni, and Potiel. And then Rashi goes on to explain the reason for some of his names. The first name, he explains, is Yeser. Why was he called Yeser? Al Shem Sheyiter Parsha Achas B'Torah. It's only because of him that a section, when it says here parish, does not mean a whole parsha, it means section. A whole section of the Torah was added only because of him. And what are we referring to? We're referring to this week's parsha, the beginning of the parsha, V'yatos Sechezeh Mikolom. After Yisrael comes to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe goes out to accept him and takes him in, and they have a nice conversation, they have a nice su'uda. The next morning, Yisrael wakes up and he observes the Edom, like a good shver. The shver wants to know, what is the Edom up to? What are you doing with yourself? What is my son-in-law doing with himself? Maybe I can give you some criticism. Always looking to find something wrong. And he sees how Moshe Rabbeinu conducts himself, where everyone lines up from Me'ashmeres HaBoikev Yadu Erev to see guidance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yisro says, this is not good. Novol Tibol, Moshe, you will wither away. You cannot continue to judge every single person in Klal Yisrael on your own. You need to establish a system of mishpat, where you will have many layers of assistance, all different, a whole hierarchy. And he gives him advice how to do it, v'chulu v'chulu, and Moshe listens to everything that he says, and he establishes this network of judges, a system with a hierarchy, and so on and so forth. This all was added to the Torah because of Yisro, that we only have this section here because of Yisro, which we'll discuss a little bit later on as well. But that's what it says. That's why he was called Yeser. What's the second name? The second name is Yisro, the same exact name, Yeser, plus the letter Vav. Why is that a separate independent name? So Rashi goes on to say, Yisro, Liche Sheniskayer, after Yisro converted, Vayichad Yisro, and Yisro, he went through Bris Mila, he was Mekabel the Mitzvos. He went to mikvah. He did the entire process of gerus. The kiyem hamitzvos hoisifu loy ois achas al shemoi. So they upgraded Yeser to Yisro. So that accounts for two of the seven names. And then Rashi goes on to say the other names. Choyvav was because he had a chavivus for Torah. Okay, that's another name. And then Shechavav es haTorah. The Choyvev, who Yisro, and then he just describes the other names. So here's the question I want to ask to you. It's interesting that from all of the seven names, six of the names are independent. They're separate names. He was called Reuel, he was called Choyvev, he was called Chever, Keni, Putiel. But of the seven names, two of them are intertwined. There's the name Yeser, that was given to him because he was the cause of an entire section being added, appended to the Torah. And then, when he was Megayer, they added a letter. Now, isn't it very interesting today when a person is Megayer, they don't take his name and add a letter. They give him a whole new name. People who are Gerim, they don't think, what's your name? Your name is Jack, so we'll call you Jacko. We'll call you Jackie. We'll just add a letter to the name that you have until now. A person who becomes
Jack, of course, is a nickname in itself.
Fine. So whatever name you'll find, you'll come. It's unheard of. Today, when a person is Megayer, sit down. It's a very serious matter to come up with a name. And sometimes the Gerim, they have in mind what they want to be called. And sometimes they don't. And this is it's a big deal. But you've never heard of a Ger Tzedek taking his secular name, the name that he was using his entire life as a non-Jew. Oh, I'm a Ger. So we'll add now just one letter. One letter to change, to identify me as a Jew. That's not the way it goes.
Yeah, but you have a Pinchas, that's what the Mepharshim say there. You notice a Yud or a Hey is added to all the Shvatim when they give their family tree. It is like, you know, it adds a Yud, Lishvi'i, and all the
right,
time.
But they're Jewish. It's just a matter of, you know.
Before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah, that's what it says.
Yeah, but that's not, they're not Gerim. These are all members.
Like Avram and Avraham or Sarai okay, and Sarah.
So you want to say that's a good example. You say Avram and Avram, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was Megayer. Okay,
the
interesting.
Says that exactly.
All right, that's an interesting idea. You want to go say Avram is okay. I hear that's already an interesting idea. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, that's a good example. There you find they did it in one letter, so that maybe will explain why when a person is Megayer, you should not. Interesting. It's a very good answer. I like that. It's a very interesting idea. I didn't think of that. That just like Avram became Avraham, Sarai became Sarah, so too when Yisro converted, Adarabba. You don't give a new name. Just the opposite. You just add one letter, following the pattern of the very first scare. Today we don't do this. Okay, today's a different story. So you're saying that's a really good answer. Rabbi Mayevsky and Rabbi Chol, you're saying Gevald. Adarabba, that answers the question as to why
even
one letter.
Yeshua is, you know,
Hoshea, but he wasn't a ger. That was a name change.
Yeah,
not a gerus.
Right. Yehoshua.
Okay, that's not a quote because that's not a gerus. That's not a change in halachic status. Avraham is a change. I guess the closest possible halachic status change in halachic status you can find is he was the first of the gerim. Right? The first of the Gerim did not go from a Jack to Avraham. He went from Avram to Avraham. That's the prototype. So any person that does convert also, Adarabba, you don't reject your entire existence until now. There's a lesson to be said about that as well. Today we don't do this, obviously, but this is indeed an excellent answer. I like this very much. Got to write this down. What they do for Uncleus? What was his original name? I don't know. I prepared a different answer. I prepared a different answer, which is more of a homiletic approach, a mussar in what happened. Yisro was mechadesh in Torah. He had a novel understanding of how things should be done, and what his approach, his novelty of how the system of mishpat should be carried out, was accepted. If it was accepted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's right. He said to Moshe, present my arguments to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and if Hashem, it says this in the Pasuk, Rashi explains it, if Hashem says that it's correct, then do it. If not, then of course. So he had a chiddush. It's like you have a very difficult piece of Gemara, and you have a very difficult question, and no one has a good answer. Along comes a person, he comes up with a novel approach to answer this difficulty that's been bothering everyone for generations. And the answer is presented to all of the Gedolei Yisrael, and they all say, unbelievable, it makes a lot of sense. That must be the answer to the question. Yisro was Machadish, but he wasn't Jewish. He was Machadish when he was non-Jew. Then he became Jewish. He became, Rashi says, when he converted, and Rashi's words are very precise. He converted, and what did he do? The Kiyem HaMitzvahs. He was Megayer, and he fulfilled the mitzvahs. We have to give you a name change. What are we going to do now? We're not giving you a whole new name. We're going to add a letter to the name that captures your talent or your connection, your desire, your passion in innovating, in being mechadesh in Torah. Let me work backwards to explain this idea. When we are mekayim the mitzvot, there are different types of people in this world, unfortunately, different types of people who are mekayim, or kol haTorah kula. There are some people, when they mekayim kol haTorah kula, they wake up in the morning, and they just go through the motions. They wake up in the morning, and they get up, oh, today is Purim, lay in the Megillah, Pesach, eat the Matzah. I have more important things on my mind. I have there are other things in life that interest me more. No, Torah mitzvahs. I'm an Orthodox religious Jew. I'm very good. I send my kids to yeshiva. I do what I'm supposed to do. I give tzedakah. It's not my passion in life. Being observant, being mekayim the mitzvahs. I do it. I do it because that's what I was trained to do. The way I took the lulav and the esrog this year is no different than the way I took the lulav and esrog last year. In fact, probably this year, it was even less. I didn't pay attention. I'm already did this, been there, done that. I just go through the motions. And then there are people that take religion very seriously. And they're looking to grow. They're always looking to grow and to strive, and their performance of the mitzvah should not be the same it was last year. Last year, when I ate the matzah, I had an appreciation. What is the matzah? This year, I spent 20 hours in advance learning through new commentators, new mefarshim, to give me a deeper appreciation in what is the mitzvah of matzah all about. So this year, when I sit down at the Seder and I eat that same cracker, it may be the same cracker, but I have a whole new appreciation. This year, I was mechadish. I have renewed my appreciation for what the mitzvah is all about. This idea is captured in the name of Yisro. When he became a convert, what does it mean becoming a convert? It means he's not going to do it. He's going to do it. Rashi says, "Uchelishenisgayer the kiyem hamitzvos," and he fulfilled the mitzvos. So now the Bezin, oh, we got to give this guy a name. We got a new Ger Tzedek here. Ooh, let's take out the book. Let's take out the book and figure out to give this guy a name. We'll call him Elisha. We'll call him Sadia. A lot of the game have these very exotic names. We'll call him, who knows? We'll figure out Kolonimus Kalman. We'll call him something really exotic. Okay, we'll find for him something unique. No. Let's study your case file. You are a person that's a machadish. You are machadish divrei Torah when you were a goy. Already when you were a goy, you were machadish divrei Torah. You are machadish. And now you're coming to be mekayim. We're going to combine those two elements together. Because that is what kiyum hamitzvahs is all about. The kiyum hamitzvahs, you are going to be a marshal for all gerim, for all of us. You're a model for all of us. Being mekayim a mitzvah doesn't just mean to go through the motions. Don't do the mitzvah the way you did it last year, the way you did it yesterday. The kiyum hamitzvah demands chidush. It demands renewal. It demands novelty. Something fresh. A fresh approach. Progress. Progress in, well, it's going to be the same mitzvah. You're not changing the mitzvah. But there should be a chidush in the mitzvah. He has seven names, Yisro. You can't ignore the fact that from the seven names, five of them have nothing to do with one another. But two of the names are not two names. It's one name and then another letter. And that counts as two of his names. What's going on? Why these two names? Why are they related to one another? What is the musar? What is the moral lesson? The moral lesson is that Rashi says, got the editor of Kishen Lichesha Niskayer, the Kiyem HaMitzvahs, Hoisifu Oisal Shemoi. So they could have added another letter to Choivav. They could have added another letter to Ru'uel. They could have added another letter to Kaini, to Potia. Why do they add the letter specifically to the name of Yeser? Because Yeser captures your renewal of Torah. The renewal, you were mechadesh in Torah. Now you're coming to be mekayim the Torah. Every time you mekayim a mitzvah of the Torah, it should be just like this. It should be a kiyum that has a chidush in the kiyum. Progress, novelty, a deeper appreciation, and that's a musar haskel for the whole Klal Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael should look at this person. His name is Yisro. What's Yisro mean? It's Yeser, and there's an extra vav because he became because lichashen iskayer the kiyum. We should be like that. Every time we are mekayim a mitzvah, it should include chidush, and not just be the same stale mitzvah that it was last year. We should grow in the kiyum mitzvahs. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Rabbi Levine, yes. It also works the other way.
Yeah.
It's the example of Ephron. Ephron, who is spelled with a vav at the beginning, and then because of the way he cheated Abraham,
he lost the vav.
He lost the letter.
Right. Very good. Because he didn't grow. He stagnated, and in fact, he descended worse. He regressed.
Yisro got the vav.
He got the vav. Yisro got the extra vav. Right. Yisro got an extra vav. Right. But the point over here is
Michael just said.
Ephron lost the vav.
And Yisro got them.
Got the vav. Okay, they're not really. I don't think this is a.
Who's a hanging vav?
Okay. I hear what you said. Okay, let's leave with that. Let's go to another avar. And this we mentioned before. Let's learn about Yisro arrives. Vayava Yisroi. Yisro arrives in the desert. He leaves this comfort zone. Rashi says he was bechvoido shalaylam. He was living in the chvoida, whatever that means. He was having a good life. The chvoida shalaylam. He leaves his comfort zone and he goes out into the desert. Rashi says a makom tohu, a place of utter desolation. To do what? To come and to be with Moshe. He comes to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Where does that Rashi get that? Because we just learned that he was in exile. He was living in exile because of his.
Because of what?
Worship.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're right. I don't know. Obviously, Rashi, he must be taking it from somewhere. Yisro had a very complicated life. It's true. Yisro had a complicated life, but Rashi says that the Yisro. Well, why does it say in the pasuk he came to the midbar? Vayavo Yisro chaysin Moshe uvanavi ishtoi el Moshe el hamidbar asher hu choyne sham haru lokim. Rashi says, why do we need all of this? We know all this. And Rashi says, what's it telling you? Ella b'shivchoy shal Yisroi diber hakosov shahoy yoshev b'chvoidoy shalaylam. Rashi must have had a source, a tradition, that Yisro was living in the lap of luxury. A wonderful life, and he decided to abandon it all, to go out into the Saudi Arabian desert, a place of total desolation and nothingness, in order to be megayer, to learn about Hashem. Okay, fine.
Well, the Abarbanel says he came at this point in time because it was near his house.
Okay, let's focus on Rashi. Okay,
it was very close.
It was nearby.
Past this neighborhood, he didn't.
He came out. Okay, different approach. Okay, it's not anything we want to anyway. It comes now. I just want to make this is a small one. Vayomer el Moshe says to Moshe, fine. Next, let's jump down another pasuk. Vayetze Moshe likras chaisna. Look what the pasuk says. This is very, very fascinating. Moshe. He goes out. Moshe doesn't say to Yisro, he doesn't buzz him in. Okay, when you go speak to someone very important, you have to go into their office. They don't come out to greet you. Moshe didn't buzz him in. Moshe, he exited. He left. He left the city. He went all the way out to greet him. He went to the airport to pick him up. Vayetze Moshe likras chosnai. What does he do when he sees him? Vayishtachu. He bows down. Were you ever in the airport when people... They know when you come out of the airport, everyone's waiting to greet you. Do you ever see anyone bow down to someone? I never saw anyone. You know, you come out in Eretz Yisrael, you come out there in that area, and your relatives are waiting for you. Mark, did anyone ever bow down to you when you when you came out in the airport and you were in Ben Gurion? Anyone ever bowed down?
Yeah, the guy that signs my shoes.
Yeah. Anyone? He bowed down. He bowed down. Unbelievable,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, we did see Obama. Obama bowed down to Saudi Arabia.
Okay, but someone over here, he's coming to, first of all, it's a big enough COVID that Moshe Rabbeinu himself goes to the airport to pick him up. I have to go pick you up? You come. You, when you land in Eretz Yisrael, you come visit me. You come to Saudi Arabia. You come, here's my card. Come visit me. Moshe should go to the airport to pick him up. That itself is a covet. Covet malachim. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu, he bows down. Wow, that's pretty cool. To bow down for Yeshver. Next, and also he's called over here, he's called his father-in-law. He calls him, he comes down, L'choisnoi. He doesn't just go out to greet him. He goes out, he's my father-in-law. Then he bows down. Then it says, he kisses him. Wow, that's you know, some people, they don't want to, they're embarrassed to kiss them when they greet their relatives at the airport, to kiss them. They don't kiss me, you're going to give me corona. Stay away from me. Okay, he kisses him. And then it says, Vayishalu ish lireyehu. They have a nice conversation. Lishaloim, a peaceful conversation, no fighting. And then it says, Vayovohu ho'oilo, he takes him into his tent. What's going on here? Such an elaboration. Since when does the Torah go out of its way and tell us all these details? If the Torah wouldn't say one word, we wouldn't blink. Yeah, whatever, he came to greet him. It'll tell you in the Medrash maybe something. What's going on over here? This pasuk over here tells us something amazing. It really, besides what we want to get to, it reveals to us that Moshe Rabbeinu was an amazing person. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do all of these things in one shot. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to give kavod. He knew. When Yeshver comes, you go to the airport to pick him up. Okay, you know, it's a very big dilemma. When relatives come, for whom do you go to the airport to greet? Not so simple. Personally, you have a big family. Not so simple. Who do you go? When do you go to the airport to be mekabel someone who is arriving in the States? You know, ask around. Everyone knows that it's not so simple. I remember once, going over the top very quickly, I daven every so often in a Hasidic shtibel. I try to be a little bit friendly with the rabbi. And sometimes the rabbi, he comes to Ma'ariv, he comes at night, he's wearing a strimal, and he's wearing his white socks, and he's wearing the whole getup. So I look at him like, what happened to you? What's going on over here? So he once explained to me, he told me, he also explained to me that the minog by Hasidim is by a family simcha, the whole family comes in Big Day Shabbos. What is it now? By a litvak, someone like me, what is Big Day Shabbos? You wear a nicer suit. You wear a suit. You don't wear a sports jacket. You wear a suit, matching pants and jacket, a nice tie, a nicer hat. But pretty much the clothing, you know, if you're working business and you have to dress in a suit, it's pretty much the same chol. So you come to a wedding, if you come from work and you're wearing a suit, you're wearing a shmata suit, as long as the Baal Simcha is not paying attention, he doesn't even know you're wearing a Shabbos suit, you're wearing your weekday suit, your old suit, you can't even pay attention. But Hasidim, it's either you're wearing the strimal or you're not wearing the strimal. There's no in-between. In the weekday, you don't wear a strimal. It's unacceptable. You don't wear a strimal during the weekday. On Shabbos, either you wear it or you don't wear it. White socks, some do, some don't. Either you're wearing or you're not wearing. So he told me, by Hasidim, it's very delicate. Because you have cousins, first cousins, second cousins, and it's very common, he said to me, that when you go to a simcha, and you don't come with your strimal, you're a first cousin, and you don't come. And the Baalei Simcha get very insulted. Because, oh, you don't wear a strimal. To my simcha, that means you don't feel like you're part of my family. And sometimes you come with a strimal. Excuse me, who told you to put on the strimal? You're a first cousin. Who do you think you are? And then there are other types of garments. I'm not familiar with all the whole getup, the whole thing. And there's no in between by then. It's either you are or you're not. And the way you present yourself is a major statement of how you feel about your relationship with your relatives. And he says it's a very big problem by all Hasidim in these circles. And you know, you can make friends and you can make enemies. And then he says to me, he says to me, and you think it's so complicated by the men? By the women, it's even more complicated. By the women, the way they dress for each other's simchas is also a major statement. Okay, so there's a lot to be said about the way you come to greet someone else, the way you present yourself. Moshe Rabbeinu here is really going off the charts. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to the airport to pick him up. Number two, Moshe is coming to him as a father-in-law. That's what it says. Likras choisnoi. Number three, he bows down. Number four, he kisses him. Number five, he speaks ish lireyehu, a man to his friend. And number six, he takes him into the tent, into the oil. What's going on over here? Let's explain. Let's focus one thing at a time. When it says that he's bowed down to him, you only bow down to a person that you're afraid of. A person who you fear for your life, you bow down to. Kiss? You don't kiss someone you're afraid of. You kiss someone that you...
To honor him?
To kiss?
No, to bow.
To bow down is an expression of fear. That's what I want to suggest to you. It's an expression of fear. You bow down to a person that you have years. Years are covered. What?
When Avram bows to the three men, is he afraid of them?
All right, so he's yes, you a good question. So maybe bowing is more of an expression of honor. Right. Okay, so but it's called Yiras HaKovod. It's a different type of honor. It's an honor, a dignified honor. Mm-hmm. Okay, bowing down, you don't bow down to people, to your siblings, to your parents. Maybe bowing down is called what's called Yiras HaKovod. It's a certain relationship. It connotes a certain unique relationship. Kissing expresses love. Vayishalu ish lireyehu lishlo means buddy, buddy. You're my friend. You're my friend. We're buddies. We went to the same yeshiva. We played basketball together. We did everything together. We went to camp together. We're buddies. Vayavoho ayala, family. I don't like you. I don't hate you. Maybe I do hate you. Maybe I do like you. It's irrelevant. You're my child. You're my father-in-law. You come with me. I'll take care of you. Get in the car. I'll take you home. I'll provide you with shelter. Whether I like you or not, you're my relative. It's my duty to take you home. Well, that's vayavoho ayala. What's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu is a very talented person. He's able to relate with all of these qualities. He knows how to fear another human being. He knows how to love someone. He knows how to speak to someone like a friend. He knows how to acknowledge, listen, you're my property. You're my, you're shver. Whether I like the shver, hate the shver comes home with me. That's the way it goes. And he knows when it's proper to go out to the airport to be makabel upon him. And he knows this is the shver, the choisna. What's going on? It's an unbelievable talent of a person to be so broad, to be able to relate to other people with all of these different qualities. It's an incredible, unique, it's an incredible talent. Why is Moshe doing all of these things? I want to suggest you the following Durosh Bachshava. Let's go back and study in the Torah all the places where Moshe interacts with Yisro. The first time he has interaction with Yisro is when he comes to Midian and he sees these young ladies by the well, by the Be'er, being harassed. And he gets up and he is the big hero. He drives away all of the evildoers and he draws water for them. And they go home. Their father says, how come you're home so early today? We had a savior, Superman, came and landed. And he saved us. And Yisro says, wow. Lomo ze azavten aso ish. Why did you abandon the ish? Kiren loy, call him home. This was before he married any of his daughters. At this moment in time, Yisro befriended. Lama azavten es ho'ish. He calls him the ish. Why are you abandoning him? He's befriending Moshe Rabbeinu, my buddy. Look what you did. You did such a nice thing for my daughters. You saved them. Moshe developed a relationship with Yisro as buddy-buddy. Like we're back in the good old days in yeshiva, when we played around together, we went out for a beer. They're buddies. What happens later? He ends up marrying his daughter. Oh, a new relationship, a father-in-law. That's a different relationship. It's not a buddy-buddy father-in-law. He had a new relationship. Yisro was also, the pasuk tells us, he had a reputation in society. He was the Choyhein Midyan. That's how it begins in Parash. Ulechoyhein Midyan Sheva Bonos. He's a well-respected person. A well-respected person that deserves. He deserves. You go to the airport. When this person, he was the Koyein Midyan. This is a diplomat. A head of state has arrived. The Pope has come. Yankee Stadium has to be prepared for the Pope. Even if you're Jewish, right? The Pope is here. And then we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Moshe Hoyeroye es Tsoin Choisnoi. Guess what? Yisro was his employer. He's the boss. Yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss. Boss, boss, boss. The boss is not your friend. You have no love for him. He's the boss. The boss is a different relationship. And then Hashem recruits Moshe Rabbeinu. As Moshe, I want you to go and be the savior for the Jewish people. And after a very long conversation, extremely complex dialogue, Moshe at the very, very end says, oh, there's one more thing I've got to tell you, Hashem. I need to get permission from my Shver. And he goes back to him in the Pasuk in Shemos, and he says to him, yes, Lech l'shalom, go in peace. This was an expression of love. That's right. You're part of the Jewish people. They need you. Go in peace. This was an expression of love, not as a father-in-law, not as a kohen. These are all the different roles, the different hats that Yisro wore in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. I think we went through them all. On the one hand, he was known as the kohen midyan. Number two, he was a shver. Number three, before he was a shver, he was his best friend. Let's go out for a beer. Let's have a beer together. He did you a toiva. My daughters, he saved you. Call him. I know Chazal say he'll marry one of you, but Pashup Shat. Call the man. Call that man, that ish. Let's go out for a beer. He was his employer. Oh, you don't mess with the boss. Roya Sain Midyan, he was the boss. He was an act of love. An act of love when he went back to Yisro. Yisro, can I go back to my people? And he says, absolutely. Leich l'shalom, go in peace. Now, all of a sudden, guess who shows up? Moshe, you know who's outside. You know who's arriving on the next private jet? Yisro is about to land in Saudi Arabia. Oh, Yisro. Moshe goes out. Vayoymer, let's go back to the pasuk. He goes out. Vayetze Moshe. That's the erste Zach. Vayetze. He doesn't say, when you're in town, come visit me, I'll buzz you in. No, no. Moshe goes to the airport. Why? Head of state is arriving. The Kohen Midyan, the Pope, is about to land. I'm required to go be Makabal the Pope. You know, this pasuk, by the way, is an extremely important pasuk. I don't know if you know, I have a picture of this from my great-grandfather. It was extremely common before the war when a diplomat, a Goyish diplomat, would come to a city, the whole city would go out to be Makabal, and they would take with them a Sefer Torah. I have, in fact, a picture of my great-grandfather. They write here in the caption that it's Rav Aaron Levine, but it's really, I think it's his father. They have Nassim Levine. I even had it made into color. I gave it to a professional. They should colorize it. It's a very old picture, and to touch it up. And they showed there all the chashuvim of the city of Raisha with their rabbi, Rav Nassim Levine, holding a Sefer Torah to be Mekabel, one of the members of parliament, someone there, one of the heads of state. Where does that come from? It comes from this pasuk. Vayetze Moshe likras choisnoi. Rashi says when Moshe went out, Aaron, the whole Klal Yisrael went out, and they went out. The Shechina went out with them. And Memela, when the head of state comes, you go and you bring with you a Sefer Torah. That's the tzura. You go out to Makabal, head of state. You go out to Sefer Torah. Today we don't do this, but this was done up until the war. This
Rabbi
was done.
Levine, Rabbi Levine, excuse me, it reminded me, I saw years ago a picture of the Satmar Rebbe in Europe greeting King Carol of Romania. And you could see the Satmar Rebbe like bowing down slightly, you know, just his head, you know, bowing down. He was the younger person then, but he bowed down the cover of the King Carol of Romania.
He wasn't wearing a hat.
He took off his hat. He's only wearing the Alvashim.
Was he holding the Sefer Torah?
Right, right. No, he wasn't.
You saw that picture? You saw that picture?
You don't even see the yarmulke.
Okay, it was very common to have a Sefer Torah, even a Sefer Torah. And they write there, this is the makar for that minuk. Okay, let's go further.
He was wearing a kippah sruga.
Okay, let's go further. So Vayetzei is... Okay, everybody, let's go further. Vayetzei means he went out because he was the Koyei Midyan. Number two, Likras Choisnoi. He's my shver. He's my father-in-law. A father-in-law deserves a certain respect. He's calling him his father-in-law. Vayishtachu, he's my boss. He's my boss. He gives me the check. I work for him. I work for the boss. I was Moshe Royeh Esoin Yisro. He's the employer. Vayishaklo.
If what you say fits in with what the Barbanel says, but for a different reason. When it says initially, Vayomer Moshe, Ani Choseh, you know, he already, they're having a conversation. So why is the Pasuk Vayetzei Moshe Likras Chosnoi after the conversation began? Because he's saying he only went out to greet him because he went out to greet his father-in-law, not his wife and children. If it was just his wife and children, he wouldn't have gone. But he only went because it was Yisro who deserved the kavod, and it's not kedai to go get your wife at the airport. Basically, that's what he says.
Understand that?
To go just for your wife.
Oh, wait, wait.
Does that make any sense?
That's what he says.
Because a friend of mine posed the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu apparently ignore his wife and children? Who was he supposed to, he said, who was he supposed to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to? If not to his own sons, and so on. So how come, you know, they're rushed off the stage immediately? But
they didn't do a Seder all the 40 years.
Yeah, he was busy. That's why so he said, he follows Studia Barbanel, sorry for the interruption, but it really fits in beautifully. He says, V'hi Elokim Imoch, what does that mean? He says, you're being bothered all day long. So you're claiming that you have to be, you know, you can't be with your wife and children because you have to be prepared. You can't have a family life if God needs you. So if you give Sarei Alofim and Sarei Meos, then you'll have more time for God. Be Elokim Imach, then you'll, if you, you know, give people the job, then you'll be able to be with God more often.
Okay, very good, very good, very good. Okay, let's just finish the shop. So what do we have? We have Vayetzei. I'm trying to suggest that you can play with this. But we look at all of you have to go back to Parsha Shemos and analyze all the different periods of that Moshe Rabbeinu experienced with Yisro. They were all very different. Vayetzei, he was the Kohen Midian. He was a head of state, so to speak. He was his father-in-law. Vayishtachu, he bows down, he's the boss. He's my boss. The boss is Yiras HaKavod to the boss. Vayishaklo, he gave me a bracha. He loved me. He told me, Leich l'sholoim, go back and lead your people. Vayishalu ish l're'ehu l'sholoim, he's my buddy. When I first saved his daughters, he told them, let's go out for dinner. We're buddies. He related in that fashion. I want to say that's really what he refers to his wife and children. Listen, you're my property. It doesn't matter if I like you or not. The oil is the wife, is the tent. You came with my wife and children. It doesn't make a difference how I relate to my wife and children, and even you. Yeah, that you're my father, and father's certain covet, but my wife and children, it doesn't matter. You're responsible for them. You're responsible for them. That's the ikar. You are responsible regardless of your feelings. He brought them into his tent. This one pasuk is showing that Moshe Rabbeinu was a very responsible, a very honorable person who had incredible talent, could draw from his entire life experience that he had with this one person and the family, and in one shot, every emotion, every type of form of derech eretz that is necessary, he brings it all together. Head of state, my boss, my father-in-law, my friend, my employer, the one who loves me, who give me a tremendous bracha, lech l'shalom, who loves me, and I have a wife and children. Every relationship that he shared with Yisro is all summarized right here in one sentence. And Moshe didn't miss a beat. He was able to bring them and synthesize them into being a real person, synthesizing all of these emotions, these experiences, and dealing with the person in front of him the way he deserves to be dealt with in a complete form. It's an incredible Musar Haskel. Everything by us has to be broken into little pieces. It was special. Everything's a specialty. If you do something a little bit off, no, that's not my comfort zone. Everything has to be. Moshe was able to take it all in and relate to the whole picture. It's an incredible Musa Haskell, how Moshe can greet a person with, bring everything together. Okay, I want to tell you another var. It's a very important var. A little bit about politics. Not about politics, but it's something that we can learn from politics. Before we get there, let's discuss very quickly. Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kalman touched upon this. There's something very difficult in this week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yisro comes, he says to I don't like what you're doing, and I have some advice for you. My advice for you is the aton yusech zemikol ha'am anshei chayil. Anshei chayil, the trop, the tamei hamikra is azla gerish. Anshei chayil, which basically means it's a hafsaka. After you say anshei chayil, it's almost like a seif pasuk. And then it goes on to say, I have three more conditions. Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, and Sone Votza. Three things. So in total, it's four things. And Rashi indeed says, what is Anshei Chayil? Anshei Chayil is Ashirim, rich people. And then Anshei Emes, Eilu Bali Havtocha, people that you could, Anshei, Yirei Elokim is obvious. Anshei Emes means you can trust them. And Sone Botza is a very fascinating interpretation. It's an incredible shot what Rashi says. It means a dayon. Could you imagine such a thing today? A dayon that was once a litigant in court, a defendant in court, is possible to be a dayon. A person who someone else has to take to court, to someone who has been sued in the court of law, is disqualified to be a dayon. Because it goes to show that there's something wrong with you. I mean, it's very bizarre. How could this possibly be? But that's what it says. They hate their own money in din. If they are ever sued, what do? I don't want to go to court. You win. Here's all the money. I don't want to fight with you. I want to make with you some type of pshara. When it comes to a court case, they hate their own money. You can have the money. I don't want to fight. Last thing is to fight with someone else. Let's find some way of resolving this outside of court. Incredible chiddush. A person who was once a defendant in a civil case is disqualified to ever be a judge. Unreal, right? Well, that's what Yisro said. That's the type of caliber of dayanim that I want, I suggest for you. Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to say that you cannot ignore this pasuk. Vayishma Moshe l'kol choisnoi vayas, he did kol asher omor. Everything you want. He did everything that he said. But then the next pasuk contradicts this pasuk, the very next pasuk. Vayivchar Moshe anshei chayil, rich people, mikol Yisrael, and that's it. What happened to the Yirei Elokim? What happened to the Anshe Emes? What happened to the Sunni Botza? Doesn't say. What happened? What happened? So I want to suggest to you a drush. It's not what Rashi says. Well, maybe it could be what Rashi, yeah. Moshe, when Yisrael said Anshe Chayil, and then he went on to say three things, the three things are not new things. Yisrael explained to Moshe what Anshe Chayil are. Moshe, I want you to appoint Anshe Chayil. Soif Posuk. Anshe Chayil, it's a Azla Geresh. It's a Mafsik. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by people of nobility. Men of Chayil. Chayil, what does it mean Chayil? Chayil is a very hard word to translate. Chayil means power. It means wealth. What does it mean exactly? The word chayil is not such an easy word to translate. Let's loosely translate it for our purposes. Men of nobility. What does it mean to be a man of nobility? Let me explain. Hold your horses. It means Yirei Elokim, God-fearing people. Anshei Emes, people that whose word is a word. If they tell you they're going to do it, they do it. They're not liars. A word is a word. You can trust them. And Sonei Botza, they're not people who want to fight with you. They're not looking to fight. They're not looking to make trouble. They're looking to be good. That's what it means, people of nobility. Now, here's something very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Shemos, he reflects back what happened 40 years ago when we came out of Egypt. And he tells over the story. He tells over the whole story about Yisro. He doesn't mention his name, though. He tells over the same story. And he says, Havu Lochem. He tells over the very beginning of Parashas Devarim. He's reflecting what happened 40 years ago. Havu Lochem, I told you, bring for yourself Anoshim men, Chachomim, wise, Univoinim, discerning, Viduim l'shifteichem, va'asimem b'rosheichem, and I will appoint them as leaders. And it goes on to say the exact next words. The next words are proof that we're referring to. Because it goes on to say, I made them the sorei alofim, the sorei meyos, the sorei chamishim, the sorei asados, v'shoytim l'shifteichem. Exactly what it says over here in this week's parasha. So this is the same story. This is the same story. Because the results are the same. And Moshe doesn't make mention of Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Botza. A whole new description. What Moshe forgot 40 years ago, he's rewriting history? What is this? America? You're going to rewrite history? Go look it up! The qualifications were Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Botza. What is going on? He's rewriting history? Chachomim, Nevoinim, Viduim, L'shifteichem. My high. The answer is,
he couldn't find.
No. That's later. No. It says he found Anshe Chayil. It says Beferush. No. It says Beferush in the pasuk in our parasha. Moshe found Anshe Chayil. It says clear in the pasuk. Moshe selected Anshe Chayil. So my high, what's going on? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu is translating the words Anshe Emes, Ayirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, and Sonei Botza. What is a Yirei Elokim? Man, there are only three things. Yisrael said, appoint men of nobility. What is that? A man of nobility has three qualities. He's a Chocham, he's a Yirei Elokim, he is Anshe Emes, and Sonei Botza. Three things. What is a Yirei Elokim? A chocham, reishis chochma yiras Hashem. When Moshe and Parshas Devarim define, I look for three qualities: chachamim, nevoinim, viduim. The three qualities that Moshe is describing in Devarim corresponds. The same story. You can't make this up. It's the same story. Is the three qualities that Yisro explained. You have to have a Yirei Elokim. You know what a Yirei Elokim Moshe translation? This is a Rashi translation. Moshe, we gave the Rashi, a Yirei Elokim is a Chocham. Reishis Chochmo Yiras Hashem. What is a Novoin? A Novoin is an Anshe Emes. A navon, a person that's mevin davar mitach davar, you see the big picture. A person of emuna. How do you have emuna? What is it? Emuna comes when you see everything. When you see the big picture is what inspires emuna. When you live in a moment, you don't appreciate the big picture. You have to wait, be patient. Be patient. Just because this happened, anshe anavoin is a person mevin davar mitach davar. This is anshe emes. Vidum l'shift heichem. Did you ever hear? You know how you get a reputation when someone takes you to court, and you say to them, "You know what? I don't want to go to court. Let's settle out of court. Let's make a pshara. You have a complaint against me. You know what? I'll be meichel. Let's work it out. You don't have to be a tippish and give me all your money. Obviously, that's criminal. But if someone has a complaint against you, this is a person of renown. He's not looking to fight. You do him l'shifteichem is soinei botza. Rashi taiches soinei botza to mean that if someone has a complaint against you, you don't fight him tooth and nail. You work it out. Those type of people have a very good reputation. And that's what Moshe is describing. Now, here's part B. This is the part I wanted to get to. And then we'll finish with this. Here's what we're getting to. Someone this week sent me a clip. I don't even know where I get all these clips. These video clips come into my WhatsApp. And this clip really was, I found it to be very interesting. If you want, I could try to find it for you. It's just a short clip, one of these media outlets describing this week many of the appointees that required confirmation from the Senate, from Biden, were approved. A new president comes to town. He has to appoint to his cabinet new cabinet members. And the minig America is that you don't just appoint a new cabinet member unless the Senate drills them and which is the neshama, and then takes a vote. And there are a lot of different positions. Some do need, some don't need confirmation. V'chul, v'chul. And this reporter, he was analyzing how the media reported the official confirmation and appointment of a whole cast of characters in the new administration. And the point he was making was that we know this is nothing new. This is from time immemorial in this country. There's affirmative action. That's the way it is. I'm not here to comment good, bad. That's none of my business. Maybe in America. In this country, a country of immigrants, maybe it's a good thing. There is some merit in such a thing. I'm not over here to take political sides. I'm telling you for a different reason, to look at what it says, to use this as a backdrop for something which I would otherwise never even pay attention to if not for this clip. This clip opened me up to appreciate a pasuk in a much deeper form. And we know that in this country, the way we live today, gesundheit, mishagas, not mishagas, none of my business. You gotta check off the box. You have to have a Latino. You have to have a woman. You have to have an African American. You have to have a non-US citizen. It's a nayazach. I never knew this. It's a new thing now in this country. If you don't hire a non-US citizen, you're also a racist. It's a new darga. There's a transgender you have to hire, African American, a woman, a Latino, and a non-US citizen, not to discriminate. Okay, there's already five categories, and if you don't appoint them to a position of authority, you're a racist. You're a racist, and you will be canceled. You will be canceled unless you do. That's the culture. Right, wrong. Listen, maybe there's some merit in this. Maybe none of my business. That's not my point. Wait, hear me out. That's not my point. The point over here is, okay, very nice. These people have been appointed. All the minorities, are they qualified for the job?
No.
Are they qualified for the job? So this reporter actually went through all of the appointees and he took note. Some of them are. Some of them are phenomenal. Okay? Are really, their resumes are off the charts. They are qualified. Without question. They deserve it. And some of them, nishtei nishtaher, There probably are 50 people that are just as good, if not better. And some people are pathetically, no way. This is a crime. All right, that's not the point. The point he made was, he then went to the media, to the headlines of all, and the articles of all the major news organizations, how they reported the appointee to these very important positions.
First this, first that.
And the only thing that they reported was the first Latino, the first woman, the first African-American, the first non-US citizen, the first transgender. The headlines and the article mentioned kimat, many times, absolutely nothing about their credentials. Nothing. Now, some of them, like we said, are very qualified. We're not taking away, chas v'sholem, from the merit of many of these candidates. Chas v'sholem. There are many that are nothing special, and there are many that don't belong there, period. Clear as they don't belong there. They were only because there was no one else there. I just check off that box. The point he made is, look what has happened to us. I mean, look, this is observation. Maybe you'll tell me it's good. I'm not here for that. But look, this is the reality in this country, is that merit is not a virtue. Hard work is not a virtue. That's a fact. Look at the headlines. This is his presentation.
Well, don't say in this country, because it's only one half. It's only one party of this country.
Fine. It's not even in the Republican Party, there's also, you know, my buddies.
This is
universal. It goes to different degrees.
But it's not the same.
Listen, this goes on in the Jewish world just as bad. In the frum world, they have the same problem in the frum world and the yeshivas and the organizations. This is a universal problem. This is not just in the country, in the government, it's reached a new level where the only thing that counts is your race, your gender, these issues. Merit, do you deserve it? That's not important. That's irrelevant. It's not, it's totally irrelevant. Yeah, maybe, but under the table, we'll be, what counts.
They're treated that way as well. They're not given decision-making power. They're just, you know, the cardboard cutouts for the position.
So now,
it doesn't matter at that point.
Merit, there is a frightening reality in this country. Maybe some say it's not frightening. It's a good, whatever side you want to take. Merit is not important. It's not the ikor. The priority is not merit. The priority is your ethnicity, your race, your gender. Okay, that's America. None of my business. None of my business. This is not my, none of my, that's America, fine. You can argue, you can fight about this the whole Shabbos. We can fight about this. That's not the point I'm trying to make. Let's now go to our Shir. We're learning Torah. Over here, Moshe is making appointees into the most important positions in Klal Yisrael. Yisro is advising Moshe who to appoint. The common denominator between Moshe and Yisro is merit.
Right.
In Klal Yisrael, what counts is merit. How come Yisro should say to Moshe, you shall now appoint a Latino, a transgender, a woman, an African-American, and a non-Jew shall be appointed to the high court. Why didn't Yisro say that to Moshe? Instead of saying to Moshe to appoint Anshei Chayil, who are Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, Sonei Botza, which we translate as Chachomim, Nevoinim, Viduim L'Shifteichem. What is Moshe and Yisro doing over here? The Pasuk should say, Havu lochem, Latino, African American, a woman, transgender, a senior citizen, and a non-US citizen. That's what it should say in the pasuk.
You left out disabled.
Disabled? Okay, that's what it should say in the pasuk. Because merit? Who cares about merit?
They covered it by the mentally.
Who cares about merit? No. If it's good for America, I'm not, you know, maybe there's something to it in America. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit of affirmative action is good. Maybe. I'm weak on that. Can't say it's totally in America. But for Klal Yisrael, we are not America. We're not discussing America. We're just using this as a backdrop to appreciate what Hashem gave us. The Ribbono Shel Olam told us, by you, by Klal Yisrael, what's important is merit. And it goes so far, one is something very interesting. Yist is a very interesting difference between Yisro and Moshe, how they describe appointees. Yisro says, V'ata you Moshe, sechazem mikol la'om, anshei chayli de'elukim, anshei emes, v'chulu, and what shall you do with all of these people? V'samto aleihem, appoint them, put them in a position of authority. When Moshe Rabbeinu describes the same story, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? He says two incredible words in the beginning. Havu lochem, take for yourself. If you don't appoint people who have merit, you're only harming yourself. The people that you appoint, you're taking for your own benefit. If you take a person who's not, does not have merit, and you take him for the wrong reasons, it'll be a disaster. Havu lochem, havu means take lochem, for your own good and welfare, appoint people who have merit, not people who are part of some long list of boxes that you need to check off. That is what will bring success. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Devarim, he improves upon Yisro. Yisro was a little soft on affirmative action. Because Yisro said, you need the right people for the job. But he didn't go so far to use those two powerful words, take. You're not giving them a job. By giving someone a job, you're helping yourself. You put a person who's responsible, who's capable, who has the qualities that are necessary. You're helping yourself. It's good for the country. You're not doing him a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. Havu, you're taking lachem for your own benefit. Moshe Rabbeinu improved upon the language of Yisro. Yisro says, we need people of merit. Anshei chayil, yirei Elokim, anshei emes, sonei botza. We need people who are up to the standards of what the job requires of them. And those people, appoint them. They deserve the kavod. They deserve the honor. Moshe also said the word v'samta at the end. But Moshe began, it's only for them? We're only doing it for their benefit? We're doing it for our benefit. If we're going to put there someone just because we have to check off a box, we're shooting ourselves in the leg. We're going to harm ourselves at the end because this person is not capable of doing the job. And then there'll be a chaos and a crisis at the end. Havu, take for your own benefit people who are qualified and have merit. No, it's a very nice thing if a minority gets a job. Wow. We'll give them the greatest honor. I don't get you. I personally don't get this. I used to work with people.
You know what does it remind me? When Yosef came before Paro, before that. So he says, Nar, Ivri, Evet. You know, Puerto Rican, this, well, I don't know what he is. Evan, Sarah Tabachim, and he put out a new halom. As what Paro says,
her of action.
Elokim, Ain, Navon, Bechacham,
Kamocha,
Elokim, Yere Elokim, Navon,
very good.
Bechacham.
You have the qualities. Paro says he has. It's not about it. Think about it. If you want, you can say that Paro was the most affirmative action. Head of state, he appointed Anar and Eved and Ivri. No, Paris, don't put me down on record as appointing as the leader of affirmative action. No, I appointed him because of merit. Exactly, merit. Merit in Klal Yisrael counts. It counts. This is a Jewish concept. This is what we're built upon. In this country, listen, it's a different country. It's a very complicated country. It's a very complicated country. I'm not here to go fight with anyone. I have a lot of people, my family members, very different political views than me. And I try to avoid friends and you name it. I try to stay out of fighting with people. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. This is it's a different type of country. But one thing we have to at least appreciate. Don't let the culture seep into our Jewish values. If this is the way it is, and that's how it, whatever, but that's not a Jewish midah. By Klal Yisrael, when it comes to at least a religious institution, and when it comes to our own appreciation of what life is all about, merit is what counts. Not because everyone has to have a, you have to be fair, you have to spread the wealth to everyone. That's not the way it goes in Yadus. My boys, I thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Mabarak Padish Adar. We should have Simcha. La Yehudi Moisa Oida Visimcha Visasim Vikar Kain Tialanu. Be well. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
It's not who you know, it's what you know.
I read the Midrash this week that says that the actual selection process, looking for those qualities, Moshe Rabbeinu looked at their faces.
Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. He was able to see in their faces their accomplishments. Okay, that's a Ruach HaKodesh. That's a whole different thing.
I hadn't heard that before. It's quite interesting.
Okay, Rabbi, have a good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. Yes.
Welcome back. It's good that you have
Shabbos,
back.
Good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. The Moilet for the Chodesh Adar.